welcome to the Next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name's Kevin Appleby. So, Graham, today we're looking at a subject that we like to look at, something to do with sport and business. And our guest today is bringing coaching from the world of swimming into the world of business, which I think is going to be a fascinating topic to talk about.
Yeah, I've got to say, our guest is called Brian Holiday. And Brian, tell us, whereabouts are you joining us from?
Just west of Ealing. So Ealing outside of London, I'm a bit further outside of Ealing.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, that's the posh bit of London. So you'll be, you know.
Yeah, no, Ealing's lovely. Where I am, not so much.
Not so much. All right. Well, honorary Yorkshireman then. All right. So, Brian, from just outside Ealing, you basically, this is going to be an interesting one because somehow you've linked swimming to business. How is that?
Well, through a very long, windy, bumpy road, I think. Shall I just kind of launch into my background and then?
Yeah, go for it.
Yes.
All right, so take deep breath. So essentially, swimming has been the bane of my life, or was until a few years ago. And I was completely obsessed, mostly for all the wrong reasons, to be very good at swimming. As a young man, honestly, all I wanted was a six pack to get girls, you know, and I thought that was the way to go. I'm dead skinny, so weights wasn't really the answer, I thought. So I basically began a lifelong obsession with swimming. And the weird thing was, I was rubbish. You know, I just didn't get it. I mean, breaststroke, I could swim for hours, but front crawl, I just couldn't do it. So I don't know if you guys swim or how you feel about swimming, but it was a struggle to do a length. Every breath was just really difficult. I was fitter than a lot of people who were going past me. I was fitter, younger, taller than a lot of people going past me. And I just didn't understand it. And I never did. And I had so many lessons. I watched, and then YouTube came along. Obviously, I predate. We all kind of predate YouTube in a way. So,
you speak for yourself.
So, you know, it just
it might look as though he's 85, but he's actually only 20.
Well,
okay. So you then delved into YouTube, then, Brian.
Well,
go back a step before you do, because one of the things that you sort of intimated is that you took to swimming because you wanted to get the girl. So what was it about swimming and girls that...
It was purely to get a six-pack, you know, and I figured, I thought cardio was the way for those.
And you can get a six-pack if you swim?
Well, if you burn out of calories, I thought that was... I mean, this is based on a teenage boy's, you know...
Point of view, yeah.
Before the internet, when information wasn't as available as it is now, I had a lot of misconceptions.
Right.
And that was the driving force. It was really fitness-based, performance-based goals.
Got you.
And having that mindset of, you know, harder, faster, longer, all that stuff, it drove me, which you'd have that as a kid, you know, as a younger person, you have that drive, but is it that good for you? Is it that helpful? You know, and I see in a lot of people I coach, they're so determined to go faster and go further, but they're not open to change, you know, a different way of thinking and new approach. So it was basically a bottomless pit of advice and information to try and figure out what was missing from my swimming. And I thought it was what everyone thinks swimming is perfect technique. You know, arm position, head position, body roll, the kick, all these detail-y things. And actually, after a lifetime of some very expensive lessons, like hundreds and hundreds of pounds just for an afternoon of coaching, and I'm looking at the instructor going, what have they got? I'm doing exactly what they say. The arm, head, neck positions are all the same, but there were things missing, and that's kind of what I'm doing now.
Right. And so you identified that you were almost like the perfect avatar for, based on everything you've been taught, but there was something missing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
yeah.
Sorry.
No, I was going to say, how would you know?
Well, funny you should say that. So I ended up as a older man, in a pool at an office. So my company, I've been working in London for about, I don't know, 10 years or so for a small consultancy firm. We ended up in a serviced office, and there was a pool in the basement with no lanes, no one in it, because nobody liked swimming, as far as I could tell. Swimming, hundreds of people, and a lot of people, we all know swimming's good for us, but a lot of us don't like it. I never did. So I ended up in that pool, and I was in that pool, well, pretty much, well, actually twice a day, 5 days a week. No exaggeration, for about 18 months, probably 2 years. And then the office moved, the company moved offices, and then it all stopped. But essentially, that's why I unlearned everything I knew, and I applied a lot of things I've been studying outside of work, outside of swimming, to bring about a different way of thinking. And
Okay.
that's what led to all of this. And I went from being able to not being able to swim more than a few lengths to being able to swim. So I say now, I don't swim lengths, I swim lakes. It's that kind of transition. It's a bit of an exaggeration, because I essentially get hypothermia if I'm in the water too long outside. But that's the idea. The idea was just swimming to the horizon. That was my goal, and that's kind of how I ended up.
And do you when you're swimming one of these lakes or metaphorical lakes, are you tired at the end of it?
No, well, essentially, what I figured out was I was missing three elements. I don't want, I don't know how much to go into detail about the solution, which is
But we'll stop you if you get boring.
okay. Oh, when I do swim distance, I've kind of taken out the ego out of the swimming for me, and that's what I want to do with the clients. And although actually triathletes would be very good for this work, because it's about swimming with ease, with balance, with a whole body movement, and an easy breath. But actually, what it turned into was something more mindful and present and enjoyable. So when I do swim lots of distance, it's essentially, I don't want to jump around too much, but if you can be present in every stroke, and you can notice the water, the smells, the sound, the temperature, the movement, everything around you, even the weeds and the disgusting things in the water, then you're alive and present in that stroke. So I said, live every stroke is one of my kind of concepts, and that's what allows you to swim further, because it stops being about kind of that grit and determination. So there's a couple of elements that I figured out. The things that I was missing in my own swimming, that's what I figured out in those 2 years in the pool. A lot of that time was figuring out my connection to the water and balance and my thinking. It was really my thinking that had to change.
But you okay? Kevin's really sharp on the uptake. Well, he claims he is, but you know what can I say? But you don't have weeds in a swimming pool. You just have that smell of chlorine from the one side to the other, and a lot of water and splashing and things. So how do you replicate the weeds and the kind of the way the role of the sea and the lake or whatever it is in that swimming pool? Or don't you bother? You there's another way of doing it.
No, that's part of it. I mean, actually, the smell of chlorine, as disgusting as it is that sensory cue. And actually, there are terrible things that all of us swimming pool, horrible things you don't want to notice. You'd much rather zone out and not be aware of them. But it's still a sensory input. And I actually don't do much outdoor. Most of my swimming has just been purely pool based. And that's where I learned. That's where. And it became less about the end goal, more about each journey. I mean, when in another pool where I kind of do some work, I see a lot of kids learning to swim. They're on school classes, and there's a key stage two target for kids to be able to swim 25 meters, I think it is. They get in the pool and they've got kickboards or floats, and when they don't use them, they swim to the end of the pool in the first few lessons, and they get to the end, and everyone's really proud, and they've done it, and that's the goal. That's the goal. That's everything to them, to the parents, to the teachers, to the kids. But when I see it, I just see them drowning the entire way, kicking desperately to stay afloat, struggling to get that breath, arms flailing. And at no point did anyone think, well, was that actually nice or pleasant and enjoyable? Or they were just so consumed by that end goal. And for me, that was the main thing I had to really let go of and get out of my own way in a way.
I mean, if the boat went down, the fact that you got a 25 meters certificate, not exactly going to do you a whole heap of good, is it? I mean, you've got it's a fantastic opportunity for you. I mean, you go along to them and say, well, I can help them get to the shore.
Yeah, I mean, I there's so many. Why I've moved away from this, there's so many barriers to people being able to what I teach, and you can't go anywhere near kids in, in that area. They've got a curriculum, they've got a standard, they've counseled, they've got structure. Far be it for me to interfere with that. But what you really want to be doing is not teaching technical strokes, but balance,
But
because then
what
you can flow.
you
So if
teach
I get
me?
tired, I flip on my back and I'm back. There's a pause, there's a moment. I use a bit of momentum to keep me balanced. I flip back over, wallop, keep going. So that's why you can swim forever, because essentially you're not exerting the pressure, the effort to stay afloat. So I mean, just to add in a bit of context, the things I learned was I talk about three concepts. It's connection to the water. And you might just say, well, that's floating, but it's not really, because floating is something you do on holiday, relax. But as soon as you start swimming, you're in swimming mode, and you're in this kind of adrenaline fueled fight flight response, the trying hard effort. But balance is something you can work and develop and learn. And then once you have that, you're completely at one with the water, I say. So that's that. And then the arms, legs thing about technique and arm position and angle and arm entry, really what you want is to swim with your whole body from side to side. And so you're carving through the water like that, like a catamaran on the waves. And instead of swimming with your arm, you swim with your right side and your left side, and your left arm is connected to your right toe, and it's one of my clients called it cross messaging. So you've got this connection from this side of your body to the other side. And then the other thing people struggle with is the breath. And there's all these rules about breathing and two strokes, three strokes breath, and all this, and trickle breath and out. But if you're struggling to fit your breath into your stroke, you're never ready for it. That's why you can't breathe. So if you make the breath the center point, controlling the stroke, the timing of the stroke, then things change. And there's some ways, easy ways you can do that.
So your clients then are who?
Well, rare. Essentially, they would be triathletes, because bless them, I've spoken to lots of them, so I feel I don't want to upset my potential client base, but triathletes are great at running, great at cycling, and not so good on the swimming, and they do it because it's in the triathlon. But they do have a wetsuit, and they generally, from the ones I've worked with and taught, the wetsuit gives them the balance that they need. Obviously, if it's too hot and there's the wet, no wetsuit rule, then they're a bit stuffed. But I've worked with beginners having traditional lessons, really struggling to do, because essentially you're trying to do what you're told, trying to get it right, trying to get technique, but you're sinking, or you're scared of the water, or you're overwhelmed with instruction and you can't tell what you're doing. You think you're doing this in the water, but actually you're doing that. And that's awareness. So if you bring someone into a different state of being, different state of mind, then also they're more conscious, more alert, more in tune with, actually they're more open to learning. I think that's the thing.
Okay, so you're at the beginning of this sort of spreading the word to people. So you don't have many clients at the moment, but you plan to do. What is it about your offer that's going to attract people?
Well, the thing that didn't attract people was this sense of teaching swimming over Zoom, because that's how on earth can that possibly happen? But now that, and actually, because I moved away from the swim, because I realized I've been doing mindset work this entire time, and only in the last few months did I start calling it that. So the mindset is a not the grit and determination mindset that I always thought mindset was, or a push through, try harder. But it's an awareness-based way of thinking. So instead of being in our heads or our bodies trying to fix things or figure things out, it's an awareness-based mindset of the present moment, of the cues, around us in the real world, so that then you're in the present moment, you're more conscious, and then that's a different, whole different way of being.
So let me, sorry, I must try and get to the bottom of this. You are good at helping people to get better at swimming.
Yes,
You,
but
your approach is about their mindset, and you coach them on that so that they appreciate the water and the weed and all that kind of, so they get a better performance. But what you're saying now is that you realize that what your offer was all about mindset rather than the swimming.
yeah, because essentially I'm bringing about a different way of learning in
Right.
heightened situations. So essentially swimming is quite stressful for a lot of people. There's a lot of anxiety and you're in the heat of the moment and you're overwhelmed. And actually, so are a lot of people in business. There's the critical decisions and deadlines and all these things going on, and you're trying to make a decision in this state, fight or flight, adrenaline fueled state. What I
Yeah.
found, what my concept in the end, because you've got your balance, you've got your whole body movement, you've got your easy breath, and you've got a way of thinking, a way of being present. And that became swimming in the present moment. So in every time your calm comes over, or every time in the glide, you can reconnect. So you come out of your head, out of your body, into the real world, and you're present. And that's the priority. And that's the things I've studied about expanding awareness, about being present, about noticing and including those things around us. That's the way of thinking that has led to this. So I had swimming in the present moment. Now I've studied with the idea of leadership in the present moment. So if you can be in that state of mind in heightened situations, as in the pool or in the boardroom, I suppose, then you're going to be able to make different decisions
Right.
or pause or choose not to, react habitually. And
Kevin, you were
that's
about
the
to
whole
say
concept.
something. You were about to
Yeah.
say something.
Right. I get quite a bit of this. The
That's all
first
right.
thing that started resonating with me was when you were talking about, oh, the target, get to the other end of the pool, splashing about, flailing about, and you get there. Okay. And I can think back to various people that have said, the typical business mindset, it'll be all right when. No, when this has happened, when that's happened, oh, when we've achieved this target, when we've achieved that target, when we've hit six figures a month or something like that. And I see very similar things. They're looking to celebrate the success at the end of it, but not celebrate the journey as they're getting there. And to me, that was actually one big lesson in business, was enjoy the journey.
Right. Yeah. And it's the same with swimming. And actually, what they're doing is, and we all do this to some extent, we're all thinking ahead of what's coming. It's being in the future, planning, waiting for that moment. But I mean, you only have to go on LinkedIn. Everyone says, progress versus perfection, act now. And but those, they're cliche, but it's true. If you can tap into that present moment, then you can, oh, okay. Now I'm ready. But if you're always, progress obsessed about what's going to happen in the future, trying to get to the end of the pool, trying to get, you're not in the present, are you? You're in this imaginary future.
Yeah. And the other bit that resonates as well, Brian, is, panicking about what's wrong versus celebrating what's right. And I've learned a lot of that through looking at things and talk about gratitude. And I've seen it even this week in what I'm doing, trying to organize a seminar at the end of the month. I had a target of getting five people involved in this, and I've only got four. And I was panicking, and doing everything I could to try and sign up the fifth person, and getting into a bit of a state about it, which kind of feels like flailing about in the swimming pool, where actually what I should be doing is realizing, actually, hey, great, Kevin, you've got four. Wow, celebrate that you've got four people. Work on that. Feel better about this. You can make the event work with four. You don't have to have five.
It's an arbitrary target you set. And so what? And it's that, I think it's that, like, getting out of your own way, or letting go of these things, these hang-ups, these habits and patterns. I do bang on about the present moment a lot. If you tune into that, and that's, you bring awareness to what's going on, around you, but also in your thoughts. And then you go, oh, okay. You could choose, oh, I won't obsess about, I'll be happy with the thought.
Okay, then, Brian, given all that, how do you tap into the present moment?
So the idea would be, okay, so first off, wiggle your toes.
Okay,
Because
toes.
that's yeah, so obviously instantly you're wiggling your toe, I'm doing it. And if you find yourself looking down at your toes, you're trying too hard. And it's getting that right level of, so essentially we're talking about two things here, awareness and attention. So the best way to model this is to pick up your phone and doom scroll for a little bit. And we all do it, even I do, obviously. You're scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Your awareness is just in that phone, isn't it? And your attention is all in the phone, and you're scrolling. And obviously, you come out of it, half an hour later, you can work, where have I been? So that's the opposite of what I'm doing, because you're narrow, you're closed in, you're shut off. But once you, it's a really good benchmark, really, doom scrolling, because that's all, I mean, we all love it, but it's awful. And we're not conscious for a life, we're just off in the world, a bit like daydreaming. But if you can dial into the things around you, so my neighbors are outside banging around, fixing the garden, but I'm still here, present, conscious, talking with you. So sound is a great way to let the present moment in, or sensory cues in, because you don't have to do anything. Sound comes in, doesn't it? Wiggling your toes is so easy and innate. It doesn't distract us from, this meeting and, all the things my neighbors are shouting, and all these things going on. But if you can manage your awareness, so that's the awareness is everything around you, noticing everything around you, and attention is what you pay attention to within that. So I could really concentrate and fix and focus and try hard to convince you of this, but it's not helpful. So what you want is a little bit of attention on the peripheral, the periphery. I have a bit of attention on you, and then, oh look, we're sitting on this chair. You can do this. You can notice the chair. You're sitting on, you feel the weight of yourself on the chair, but you can feel the chair supporting you. Same with the floor. Same with
I
the
think
noise outside. And these things
the
can feel
idea
like.
that I think should come about of this is you stick your head out of the window and say, shut the bloody f just stop shouting. I'm doing a bloody podcast here.
Well,
That way you're at
normally
least aware of your
it's.
surroundings.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And actually, sometimes it's not great to be fully aware of everything around you. You actually get super distracted.
Okay,
But
but all
part of
right,
that is awareness.
okay. I can see that you've delved into this area here. And if I capture this, I'm thinking swimmer, figured a few things about swimming. One of them is that to do the swimming in the way that's going to get the best performance, then that skill set is one that I can now apply without swimming and without a pool, but I can just take the learnings and go into a business or go or have a one-to-one with somebody who needs help and work it through with them, almost like a therapist. Are we over the target here, or am I a long way away from what you're trying to do?
I think that would be the plan. Maybe not as a, I wouldn't picture it as a therapist, but essentially, if you can get out of your own way by being present, then it opens up a lot of things. So
Okay,
I
but
like.
am I going to pay you a lot of money for you to take, say, get out of your own way? What I'm trying to get at is, where's your business opportunity, Brian? Because it's clear to me that you are some kind of therapist, and I don't know, you might want to call it that, but somebody who's going to help the mindset.
Mindset coach. I think
Yeah,
ideally it would be,
coach is fine. Therapist is cut. All right, okay, we can argue semantics, but is that where you're going with
I
this?
think so. Yeah, I mean, I think I actually very passionate about swimming. I mean, in fact, I applied my own principles to running because I had terrible problems with running. I mean, I'm dead skinny, and I was so heavy. So, and I thought, well, I did exactly. I did want to swimming. I asked loads of people for advice. I watched loads of things on YouTube. This was only like 2 summers ago. And I went, hang on, hang on a minute, let's just try my own stuff. So I used the same way of thinking to change my running. And I was like, well, then I started to write a course on it. And then I tried it a bit with one of my clients for his golf. So it just basically evolved into where else can this help? And it, having worked in IT for 30 years, you see a lot of managers struggle, and I was a manager for a while, and then see the executives dealing with this same sort of stress, similar level of stress and anxiety and overthinking and habitual behavior and all these things. So I thought, well, actually, executive coaching would be the way to go. With the same, and if the present moment, because everyone wants to be mindful, everyone knows that well-being is so important nowadays. And I think mindfulness is basically meditation for many people. And I don't know anything about meditation. I've never tried it, but I have done a lot of work in bringing about changing people through the present moment in the work I do outside of work, on my own.
And that's going to have its appeal because, real success, people who've said that you've provided them success. If I've got a lot of fog in front of me and you've got something to sort of part it in a way and allow them to get through it unscathed, that's got to have its value. And that's the bit that I'm struggling with because you are different. I mean, your website's called intuitiveswimming.com.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to go there and think I'm going to get my head shot, sorted out.
No, well, I mean, so basically, the last 2 or 3 years, I've been doing the swimming stuff, and it just hasn't worked as a business. It hasn't worked as a client. I've got half a dozen clients on the coaching. There, half a dozen testimonials. I've got 10, 15 clients using the course, working through independently. I got a message from one just yesterday. It's so lovely because he's so chuffed and he's learning a different way and he's not obsessing about targets and he's figured out his balance and he's like super excitable. It's really lovely. But how long do you keep going with something when I said it's not landing? And I think mindset coach, maybe that would have been the shift that would have, if I'd have started using that 3 years ago, that might have been more impactful. I didn't get it. I didn't even know that term. Really, I had never thought of using it. So now it's like, well, actually, it works. It's proven in the clients I've worked and the course I've taught. And why not apply it to a more receptive audience? Because swimming, for a lot of people, swimming lessons are 10 quid down your local pool. And no amount of YouTube videos or posts on LinkedIn can convince people the technique is not the answer. It's not the answer. I know, because I've spent my whole life trying to figure out technique. I mean, obviously, if you're a professional athlete or a top level, you need technique to fine tune. But not if you're struggling to stay afloat or overwhelmed with instruction or sinking or flailing, can't figure out what you do. All these things, struggling to take a breath, that's not technique. It's mindset because you're changing someone's perspective on the activity that they're doing. And if you do that, so essentially, a lot of meditation is, I'm sure it's brilliant, I'm sure it's amazing, but it's before or after the thing that you wanted the mindfulness in, I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't know. But if you can tap into that thing when you need it most. So, I mean, if I may, I don't want to bang on too much, but the Johnny Wilkinson stuff where he does that thing before he kicks the ball. Obviously, Johnny Wilson, amazing. His methods obviously work. I'm not criticizing it, but he's there. He's there, isn't he? And he's got a good amount, a few minutes to prep. So he's visualizing, he's centering himself, he's getting his balance, he's aiming, he's doing all the things that I'm sure a lot of excellent coaches coach. But if you could get that instantly, maybe, or more quickly, or without having to prepare. I think that's why I've always pitched it.
It's almost like you're going to. There's some things that I've when you doom scrolling, as you call it, and you're looking at Instagram, and all these things come up, and one of them for me comes up is I think it's called NMN. Now, I think it's a pill you take, and it makes you feel more kind of, you have the ability to do everything. It's that idea. I think that's what it's about. I might be wrong, but basically, the whole idea is that take a pill, basically, all of a sudden your body is supercharged. Now, that's the take a pill route. Now, is your market, future market, is it about the people who need to recognize how they can, because of their training through you, move through a challenging situation by recognizing that that is the challenging situation and then doing the things that you coach them on?
I think so, yeah, because if you can pause, so I think there's a well-known phrase between stimulus and response, there's a moment. I'm paraphrasing, but there's a moment.
I get you.
I think it's between stimulus and response, there's a space. And it's in that space where all this work happens. So the space is the moment. So the present moment's always there. It's just something you can tap into. And what I'm doing is using physical cues, sensory cues. So that's the floor, the space, sound, smells, touch, to go, okay, I'm back in the moment, rather than in here, like in my head or in my body, checking things out, watching thoughts go across, all that stuff. So my pitch for this work that I've been doing outside of all of this was beginner's luck at any time.
All right.
So my story would be,
Oh, that makes sense.
so Graham, beginner's luck. Obviously, I would normally ask you what the example is, but the best example is you're in the office. We've all worked in offices. You get a piece of paper, you scrunch it up, and you throw it into that bin in the corner, right? Have you done this?
Of course. Yeah,
Of
yeah.
course. Graham spends all day doing that. I
He's
know, right? Well,
passionate.
I spend a lot of time.
I don't use that much paper now, apart from in my pad. But I did.
It's a lost art. It's a lost art.
Yeah.
And this is the problem with technology. Tactile things are great. Pencils are great. Pens are
Yeah.
great. So what happened? So you threw that piece of paper in the bin in
It went
front of
in.
your colleagues. What happened?
Well, it went in, and so there, everybody thinks, oh yeah, there's he's like the Fonz, he's
You're a
kind of.
god.
Applause,
You're a
yeah.
god. You're this like harkens back to caveman throwing a spear at woolly mammoth. You are the alpha male for that moment.
For that, but
And
it's not really that, is it? It's a piece of paper into a waste bin. But yeah,
well, it's the modern day equivalent of killing a woolly mammoth. Let's
well,
harken
it's
back.
probably the last millennium, but yeah, I get the point, because the
So,
probably the modern day is something none of us really do, because the kids probably have a different view of life when it comes to
yeah,
it.
but my target isn't millennials. It's old men like us. So the thing is,
I don't know.
what happens in the office? What's the first thing someone says to you?
Oh, I don't know. Something like, "Well done, Graham. Now get back to
No.
work."
Oh, no one says that in an office. They say "lucky devil,"
Oh, right.
bet you can
Okay.
do
Is that
that
what they
again.
say?
Bet you can do that again. Surely,
Okay.
surely that's the response.
Right. I'm with you. Okay. I bet you can't do that
And
again.
then you do it. But then you've got a piece of paper, and you're pumped. You've got pressure. You've got expectation. You've got muscle tension. You've got to recreate that thing that you did. But you didn't do anything before, did you? That first time was just you being
This
you.
is bringing really harrowing sort of reminders of how I play golf.
Right.
The
Well, this is,
one out of
honestly,
28 shots is going to be pretty good, but the next 27 are rubbish. So,
right.
if only I could keep that momentum going out of, one to two, blimey, then, here's a
Yeah, Graham,
pun.
we'll talk afterwards.
Carry on.
I actually wrote some content and recorded some stuff for one of my clients about golf, because essentially, getting out of your own way is what this is. And if you can apply it to running or golf, but it's a tough sell. So I figured there's more of a target audience out there and a more receptive audience. And it matters more, because swimming, maybe you can take or leave it. Golf, I know golf is very important to people, so that would be a thing. But if an executive in a high-pressure situation, day in, day out, they need a shift. You can't change the problems you face with the same problems that, with the same thinking that created problems. Some guy said that,
Kevin.
yeah, I get this. That's kind of when you take that golf situation, Graham, probably your best golf shots when you weren't particularly thinking about what you were doing.
Probably.
He just walks up there and he hit the ball. It was a good one. And
Yeah.
the more you focus on it at gripping the club right, addressing the ball properly, lining the shot up, and the more of all of that that goes into it, the worse the result is in my view. And I think a good amount of stuff is like that in business. We get obsessed about the detail of doing it properly or doing it better or whatever, and the basics of JFDI go out the window.
I'm getting up. I'm sort of getting this. It's just that I, as a marketer, I'd be thinking, where's, I know that you're transitioning from one business to a different one, and it's an interesting transition. But basically, when will you know that you're really doing the thing that you've conceptualized something? But when will you obviously got, you'll have a client. But what will they tell you that your input has changed for them? And so there you'll therefore you'll know that you're over the target, you basically know what you're doing, sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it's when they apply the processes, the simple moments in the heat of the moment. So I actually have I've written to an old boss, and I coached one of his a colleague who was a lovely young lady, friendly, effervescent. I'm going to say maybe a bit hyper, maybe a bit ditzy, and she had this presentation to do for the board, for the sales board. And I chatted to her, and I actually just played catch with her in the room before the meeting. And it wasn't catch, it wasn't getting ready catch, doing it right catch. It was catching with a connection between two people and an awareness of everything around them. And it brought her in a different state of being, where your nervous system is calmer, you're a bit more present, and you're more receptive, and you're I mean, look, I've been on this call. I'm like trying to convince you, but it's
You're
that
not.
point.
It's you. You don't have to come in to convince us. It's
No, I
just
know, but
you have to
that's
convince our listeners, and I'm just trying to get the right sort of cues to you so that your answers convince somebody that says, "I'm getting in touch with this guy,"
yeah.
because I
So.
can see that that catch thing that you talked about. And if the end of it, she said, I'm really nervous now because you've just spent 5 minutes playing, throwing a ball to me, and I've got no time to prepare. Now, she didn't
Well,
say
funny
that, did
enough,
she? She didn't say that.
she did say at the end, her boss said, more importantly, which is why I reached out to my old boss, my old colleague, senior colleague. He said, I don't know what you did with Daisy, but it was amazing. She was transformed. Something like it was a good few years ago. So I want to get that recommendation. But then she said to me afterwards, oh, it was just common sense, wasn't it? I was like, oh, but it was it common sense? And if it was common
Oh,
sense, why
you
not do
would
it
think
yourself
about
then?
that. No,
Because it was so simple that I don't think she appreciated it, essentially, and it isn't difficult, but it I think what's the phrase? It's simple but not easy,
Brian, what once you know the answer and you've seen the answer, it is simple.
I mean, I
It's
had this a lot,
before you
this with a
get there,
school.
it's a huge barrier, it's a huge puzzle. Now, those nerves before going giving that big presentation, they can be absolutely horrible. Had them myself. One of my least favorite things that I ever used to do was give a presentation. I'd do anything to avoid it. Joined PwC as a management consultant, realized that it was something you had to do as second nature. Once you flip that mindset and it's just second nature, and you go into it without thinking about everything that can go wrong, everything that's got to be prepared perfectly and so on. Then it's different. You just do it kind of, and it is simple.
But then when you try to, when someone asks you, how do you do it? You probably can't explain it possibly. I mean,
Exactly,
that's what I found.
exactly.
The
Yeah,
same is
that
school.
is the point.
Well, I it's not quite the same, but it is. When you have somebody, I mean, back in corporate, when I had teams and so forth, big teams sometimes, if you wanted to change the state that somebody was in, then I would literally change the place that they were in. So we would go for either a walk, we'd go into a different room, or we'd do something that physical environment, which is kind of where you've been going with all of this, the weeds and all that kind of stuff. You just literally everything around them when they were talking to you, upset and all the rest of that. That was the situation they were in. They were in that room with you or wherever it was. So the idea was to change the situation, maybe change the level of your voice, maybe slow it down, whatever it's going to be, but effectively decompress this sort of anger or whatever it was. Now, I think that as a coaching or management technique is something that many managers get to learn over time. Or maybe not. I don't know. But the point is that the combination of those things is what you're teaching. So the what you did for Daisy or whatever her name was, she thought it was simple, but it actually you thought of it. You're the coach and you saw that situation needed to be, she needed to come off a little bit in terms of the anxiety, which everybody has, and you did that for her. So yeah, it was simple to her, but it wasn't. It was a really good piece of thinking that got her out of that, struggling to get to the edge of the pool to get into a situation where she was gliding there. And I think that's what, if you can encapsulate that in terms of a value proposition to businesses, then I think you'll do quite well. But you have to have a set of modules, I think, that really address certain situations which people recognize in themselves or for their colleagues that you can actually, do something about. That's when your business will literally take off and provide
Or
other alternatives.
tangible scenarios that everyday tangible important scenarios that people face.
Yeah, you do seem the creative type that will get there, but you might the challenge will be to allow yourself to drink your own Kool-Aid effectively to get that sort of plan ready and then executed, because I think that's where you're going, and I'm quite encouraged for you, oddly enough. I don't think I
Thank
was at the beginning of the conversation. I am now.
you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Kevin's probably done it all for you. I mean, he sat there and he's scrunched his face up a little bit.
Well, I can only see you, Graham. So for some reason, it's showing me, because I'm on my phone. It's only show Graham. So I've had the toughest crowd as the audience. How about Kevin? He's probably been would have been smiling a bit more at me. So I could have.
Oh, well, he probably,
That's very
in fairness,
strange.
I'm only kidding. He has been smiling throughout. So, but no, genuinely, Brian, I think what you've got is something that people are going to be interested in. And look, we've got to the place in the conversation where we're going to have to draw it to a close. You've been a really good guest, a really interesting guest, on the
Very
next 100 Days podcast. Thank you for joining, Kevin and I.
well, Graham, we've interviewed a lot of people that have been a long way down their business journey, have very much got their message and their pitch sorted out, and are on here coming in and giving us that pitch. Brian is at a much earlier stage on that journey. And I think a journey we've all got to go through. Brian's got some absolutely great stuff. That mindset stuff, the approach is brilliant. But right now, he's probably got that challenge of saying, exactly what is this that I'm selling to a client? What am I trying to solve?
What problems am I trying to solve? Yeah, no, absolutely so. And that comes from an understanding of his initial customer profile or his ideal customer profile, so that he understands what their problems are. What are they running towards? What are they running away from? Does he understand how he can get his message across to them, his proposition, his value proposition? How is he going to make their lives better? And in some ways, it's this idea of thrashing to the edge of the pool, gliding to the edge of the pool. It's there's some there's a method that takes somebody's approach and changes it so that they're in a better flow. And we had, Camille Preston, goodness, how many years? Well, it's a few years ago, talking about flow and that state of flow. And when you get in that state of flow, then you're like irresistible.
Yeah.
And I, that's what, you know, I mean, she'll be doing other things now, but that's what she was doing then. I remember that because it made quite an impact on me.
I remember being on a course and we were talking about flow an awful lot. And some people call it flow, some people call it being in the moment, some people call it being in the groove. And the example that was given, again, it was a sports example, and it was a javelin thrower who was really, really good. And on the day in this particular sporting activity, the sporting event he was in, came last. I asked him afterwards, and his answer was, "I just didn't hear the music." No, he wasn't in the moment. And that goes back to, kind of that throwing the piece of paper into the
I think the
bucket.
thing is
You
with
did it
Brian,
when you weren't thinking about it.
if he's not in that state, then he's going to find it very difficult to wrap his ideas into the type of process that you've just discussed with him separately. And so from that point of view, the opportunity for Brian, I think, is to understand how he manifests all of this in his coaching, because that is, we almost got there in the end. He's a coach,
Yes.
and effectively he's got to work, understand what type of coaching does he do, and how does he take himself from this expert in swimming and everything to being an expert in changing people's ability to make their things happen, make their life better. And there is, if it's a 9-step transition process, or whether it's a I don't know, some just a real tough view of who his market is, what his value proposition is, what is basically what his offer is. If he can get those three things sorted out, then he's a long way there. So then it's, so you know, it's an interesting one for Brian, and it's an interesting one for those people who might see Brian as a potential provider of services. But today we've done our best to give him a head start. I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.